everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm so excited to be sharing, and I truly believe that God is going to bless you through this message. Check this out. Come on, somebody. I want to share today. And in fact, you know, we did this last service. I don't know why, but we'll do it again today. Why don't we stand to our feet as we read the Word of God today? And I want to read out of the book of Matthew. It says this in Matthew 27. It should be on the screen. Verse number 50, starting in verse number 50. This is when Jesus is on the cross. It was on the screen and now it's gone. Now I'm on the screen. I'll just read it off here. Verse number 50 says, "Then Jesus shouted again and he released his spirit." Somebody say his spirit. He was on the cross. He shouted again. He released his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top. Somebody say the top. From the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split apart. Not only did the rocks split apart, but so did all of time. What a moment. And I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7. It says this, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged.'" Let's pray this morning in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are here. You never fail to show up. As your word says, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst. And God, every time we've gathered, you always show up. You're always there, you're always with us. You're the God that never leaves. You're the God that never walks out. You're the God that never lets down. You're the God that never forsakes. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your power and for your presence that is here so tangibly today as it has been all weekend. And Father, we thank you for your revelation and your power that is on your word. It's always on your word. Lord, you promise that wherever your word goes out, it will accomplish that for which it was sent. And so Father, we lean into you this morning. We tune our ear to what you would have to say to us. Speaking to our hearts, speaking to our minds today. Father, we place our lives at the foot of the cross. Would you come and do what you will? Do what you want. Change us, shape us, mold us and make us today. God, we thank you for your word, for your power, for your presence. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, somebody say, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just love that verse. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave us. You know, this is a verse that is always spoken so strongly to me. I think the reason is, you know, I've been thinking about this verse a lot over the last week. In a world that measures success quantitatively, we come into the presence of a God who measures relationship qualitatively. And we live in a world where we measure success by the job that we've done, the project we've accomplished, the amount of things that we've done. And to a degree, there's nothing wrong with that. If I was to hire someone to clean my house, as I did this week because I ran out of time, I would be very upset if I handed some money over and they didn't do the job. I would judge them according to the work they did and I would be not happy. Thankfully, they did a good job and I gave them a payment. But so the world that we live in measures accomplishment, achievement, success as such. But when we step into the presence of God, we need to be careful not to translate our worldly understanding onto the kingdom of God, because God does not operate as such. God is not waiting for us to achieve so we can receive and then achieve again so we can receive. That is not how God operates. God, in fact, promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I grew up feeling the pressure to perform simply because I grew up in this world. Pressure to perform or to behave or to conquer. And I mistook this for acceptance when I came into the kingdom. That if I could achieve enough or if I could behave enough or if I could conquer enough, then I would be accepted into the kingdom. And of course, I sing all the songs and I read all of the scriptures and I know all the Bible. But it's amazing how long some thoughts take to change. And I love this scripture. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But God, I messed up this week. He will never leave you nor forsake. But God, I didn't do what I thought I should have done. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But God, I haven't done all of those things. You put him out. No. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I love this scripture, this passage here. It's in Deuteronomy. Moses is commissioning Joshua to take the leadership of the nation and lead them into the promised land that God has in store for them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, especially if you're lactose intolerant, that may not seem like a great kind of land to go into. But of course, it wasn't literally flowing with milk and honey. That would be weird. Metaphorically speaking, God is saying a land flowing with the goodness of God, so the lactose lovers and the lactose haters can all live there in harmony. But God is about to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land full of God's goodness, the land full of the promises. And I don't know about you, but whenever I read scriptures like this, I just get excited. Something happens deep down on the inside. And I think it's because I've grown up with a proclivity to dream. And then as I come into the presence of God, I don't just dream small dreams, I dream big dreams. And so I come into the presence of God, I got big dreams, and I read these stories, I'm like, oh, someone's about to accomplish their dream. Yes! How can I do it? Of course, I want to accomplish every dream that's in my heart. I'm sure we all do. And so when I read these stories, I'm like, okay, God, speak to me out of this. God was making a way for them to step into their promise, into their dream. And this was the moment when Joshua was being commissioned to take the leadership to lead them into the promised land. It was an incredible moment in their time. And I want to read now, this was when Moses commissioned Joshua, but let's go to the day of them stepping into the promised land. It's just a few chapters later, over in Joshua chapter 3. See, the day they entered the promised land, this was a momentous day. This was an exciting day. Think of the journey that the Israelites had been on. God had rescued them through Moses out of captivity in Egypt. And then they spent 40 years traversing the wilderness, and God was bringing them out of that stage in their life. They had so much to be thankful for. What an incredible day in their life. And this day in particular, Joshua chapter 3, finally they were here, about to get to the promise. And it says in verse 14, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, went ahead of them. Now it was, the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Somebody say overflowing. The Jordan was overflowing its banks. Somebody say overflowing. Now, we are believing this year for a year of overflow. The reason we can believe that is because we serve a God of the overflow. But this was not a good overflow. This was an overflow of trouble. Who knows that sometimes trouble can overflow as well? We ask God for the overflow in our life and we get an overflow of goodness, but sometimes we get a nice dose of trouble as well. Not from God, just because we live in the world. So there they were, they were presented with an overflowing river, which was a big trouble. Who knows that sometimes on the journey to possess our promised land, we will come across some trouble. That's the reality of life. All of us in here are old enough to realize this. Trouble comes in life sometimes, but of course, there's no issue when God's involved. It says this, going on, verse 15, as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the presence carriers, they had the presence of God, as soon as they touched the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town named Adam, and the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the river was dry, and then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. I love this. When they were presented with overflowing trouble, all they needed was the presence of God. And as the presence of God went out ahead of the people, bam, the trouble stopped flowing. Oh, I don't know if you caught that. As soon as the presence of God went out ahead of the people, bam, the trouble stopped flowing. I don't know sometimes if you've ever wanted the trouble to stop flowing in your life. I don't know if you've ever been faced with situations where it's just trouble after trouble, obstacle after obstacle, let down after let down. I'm telling you, this is a good verse to cling a hold of. When the presence of God went ahead of them, the trouble stopped flowing. Reminds me of that verse in the Bible that says where the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. You see, the presence carriers went out, and where the Spirit of the Lord was, there was no room for trouble. So we're all good. The river stopped flowing. Trouble stopped flowing. They walk into their promised land. We're all good. Things are going good. Joshua's leadership, it's off to a good start. 10 out of 10. Says this in verse 17, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had passed by on dry ground. The presence carriers stayed put until every person got through to their breakthrough, through to their promise. Part of my role here is to be a presence carrier. I was up here most of the weekend carrying the presence. Sometimes it feels like we're up here for a long time carrying the presence. Do you know how long those presence carriers would have stood there? There was a few million Israelites to walk past them. There they were, faithfully carrying the presence. That would have been most all of the day. Just standing there carrying the presence of God. They stood there faithful in the middle of where trouble flowed. The presence carriers stood until all the people got to their promise. It says this though. Says this, goes on, the very next verse happens to be the next chapter. When all the people had crossed over, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing, from the very place where the people were holding the presence of God, from the very place where the presence stopped the trouble, and in the middle of the Jordan, carry them out and pile them up to the place where you're going to camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he'd chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the presence of God. Pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. One to represent every person. No one was missed out. Everyone was represented. And it says this in verse 6, we will use these stones to build a memorial. I love this bit. It's the bit I love the most. Says this, we will use these stones to build a memorial. What does that mean? Joshua was listening to the Lord. It was testimony time. It was praise time. You see, you got to think of this, right? God had given them a great promise. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, but they hadn't seen any milk and they hadn't tasted any honey. They hadn't taken any cities. They hadn't won any ground. All they'd done is stepped into the front door. They hadn't even discovered the house yet. All they'd done is just gotten their foot over the door, standing on the other side of the river. And God said, it's time to praise. Oh, I don't know if you caught that. They had barely even gotten into the promised land. They'd barely even gotten over the trial. They'd barely even tasted of anything. And God said, now would be a good time to shout my praise. Now would be a good time to testify. Now would be a good time to get on your face and seek me. Now would be a good time to lift me up and thank me. Now would be a good time to praise. You see, these presence carriers have stood in the middle of trouble until trouble stopped flowing and everyone got their foot across the line. You know, sometimes we wait until the end to give God a praise. Now, that is a wonderful place to praise God, but it's not the only place to praise God. Sometimes we praise God at the start before we've even seen what He could do. But there's a time when we need to praise God right in the middle, when we need to give God a middle kind of praise. We haven't seen the break through yet. We know the promise is coming. We're still kind of just here right now, but there's a middle praise that God is saying, come on, somebody. We gave God a middle praise in the middle of this service. I don't know if you realize that. We don't normally praise God there, but it just felt good, didn't it? Just felt like it fit, didn't it? Why? We weren't at the end. We weren't at the start, but sometimes you just got to stop and give God a praise. You don't know why. You haven't got the answer yet. You haven't seen what you want to see yet, but it's a good time to praise God anytime. There's power in our praise. There's power in our praise. Sometimes we just got to praise God that we're on the way. Sometimes we just got to praise God for His provision even though we haven't seen it yet. Sometimes we just got to praise God even though everything looks impossible. I'm still going to sing Nothing's Impossible. Sometimes we just got to praise God when everything looks bad. I'm still going to sing You Are Good. Sometimes we're going to praise God no matter what, that He can supply all my needs, even when I don't think I've got anything. Sometimes you just got to praise God in the middle. Somebody say praise. Somebody say middle praise. You just got to give God a praise in the middle sometimes. But can we go deeper today? Come on, are you with me? Can we go deeper today? You see, after thinking much of this past week with Pastor Leif's sermons in mind, if you were here last Sunday or at either of the Beautiful Women conferences, he preached with three chairs on stage. Let's bring them out. In fact, let's do the three. I'm kidding. Just still bustling side of stage. So the three chairs were simply representative. The third chair was about the kingdom of darkness. Obviously, that's when people are unsaved, they're lost. The second chair was when people are saved, but he called it the kingdom of self. They really were. I'm sorry. I was just kidding. It's a joke. You really are wonderful. Bless you. Very attentive. The second chair number two, he called it kingdom of self. So you're still saved, but you're wrapped up in yourself a bit as well. And then the first chair, 3, 2, 1. This is the first one. Back to front, right? See what I did there? Tricky. The first chair number one, called a kingdom of God. This is when, we're saved, but we're in the position of a son of God, a daughter of God. Coincidentally, I loved one of the things he said. I reckon I'm going to borrow it, Jacob. He kept on saying, we're all sons of God. Even the ladies, it's okay for you to be a son of God. You're a son of God temporarily because I'm going to be a bride of Christ permanently. So if I'm going to be a bride permanently, you can be a son temporarily. I thought that was quite good. I'm like, yeah, that's nice. I like that. But if it's important to you, sons and daughters, that's good. That's good. You see, so commonly, the reason I reference those three chairs, flow with me today. So commonly, I think in life, we can live focused on the promised land. I think it's a very common thing to do growing up in the world that we grow up in. We're focused on the land that God has promised us. It's a godly dream, but we're still focused on the dream. Focus forward, chasing the dream, onwards and upwards, eye on the prize, you know. And we can be focused on what we have to do. Now, maybe that's just as a man that I feel that way. I'm not sure how the ladies feel. You know, I was at the Beautiful Woman Conference both weekends. And can I just say, it felt wonderful. Everyone had candy so they'd feel sweet, and they got gifts so they'd feel loved, and the stage looked nice, and the building was, you know, the ribbons everywhere, and I don't even know what you call it. It felt good. Ladies, Mighty Men is not like that. I mean, the men, of course, we appreciate feeling good, but we also need to win something. This is why we have arcade games in the foyer, so we can win something. We have competitions before every service because men like to win, which means they like other people to lose, but that's fine. If they win, that's good. Because I want to win something. You know, I want to achieve something. I want to take some ground. Not that the ladies don't like taking ground, but, you know, that's how men can think. But so often, men are just leaving me out hanging this morning, aren't you? You're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, sweetie, we don't think like that. We like to feel good. You're just leaving me hanging, aren't you, men? It's all right. I've been on my own most of the last two weekends up here. They call me beauty. I've been singing that for 2 weeks straight now. Did you know God calls me beautiful? That's all right, though, men. It's actually true. He does. You're allowed to sing that. It doesn't make you less of a man. Mitch Wong, you wrote that. Man of God. Come on. But see, thinking about the chair analogy, chair number two is the chair that we strive from. Chair number one is the chair that you receive in. Chair number two is where you're kind of in the kingdom of self, wrapped up in self. Chair number one is when you're in the kingdom of God, not to try and re-preach the sermons, but I feel there's a difference between striving and receiving. And too often I believe that we can live pursuing the promised land, striving for it rather than receiving it. But think of this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 31. It says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Now, the beauty of God is he can be all places at all times, not bound by time. So he can be in front of us and with us at the same time. But why does God go before us? Why doesn't he just stay with us? Why doesn't it just say the Lord is always with you? Instead of saying the Lord goes before you and will be with you, it's because the future God has for us is important to him. And I'm not just talking about the eternal future where he's creating the future for us eternally. I'm talking about tomorrow here in Melbourne. The future that he has for us is important to him, as well as him being with us at the same time. So he says he goes before us and is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So therefore, we've got no reason to fear and no reason to be discouraged. It is written so clearly, he goes before us. I love Pastor Leif said this. He goes, if we have him, we have everything. But if we have everything, but we don't have him, we have nothing. See, if we live a life of pursuing the call and pursuing the dream and pursuing the promised land, but we don't pursue the promised earth, then we can have all of that. We can have all of the promised land, all the milk and honey we could want in the world. But if we don't actually have him, then we end up with nothing. And so often I think we can live a life of striving for rather than receiving from. If God is a God who goes before us, then he is the only one equipped for us to receive from the future that he has for us. You see, the promises of God are not based on performance. It's not a promise based on success. It's not a promise based on anyone else. His promise to us is he will never leave us nor forsake us. But God, I haven't done well enough. No, I'm never going to leave you. But God, I messed up. No, I'm never going to forsake you. But God, I haven't done everything I wanted to do. Even in prayer, I thought you said do this and I haven't seen it come. It's all, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. See, we don't work for our sonship. It's about receiving, not striving. God goes before us so we can receive everything he has for us. So what does this mean? It means we don't work for our sonship. We work from our sonship. But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of work to be done. There's so much work to be done. There's more urban life leaders we need. There's more community leaders we need. There's more empower servants we need. There's more evangelists that we need. There's more preachers that we need. There's more pastors that we need. There's more teachers that you get in the drift here. There's more doctors that we need. There's more lawyers that we need. There's plenty of work to be done. But we don't go out of those doors striving to do the work. No. We go out there thankful. We get to be a part of what God is doing. We're part of the family business. We take an ownership in it. You see, there was a land to take, the promised land. There was a promise to inherit. But the land, the promise, was never there to bring fulfillment to every person. No. They already had that. You see, the presence of God was with them in the wilderness. The presence of God was there with them as they crossed the Jordan. The presence of God went with them into the promised land. The greatest promise was not the land. The greatest promise was his presence. See, we see this in the cross as well. I read it before, Matthew 27, verse 50 to 51. Jesus shouted again and he released his spirit. Whose spirit? His spirit. Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Christ. Holy Spirit. See what happened in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. We had a curtain across here the last couple of weekends for a beautiful woman. And if I was to feel a little bit naughty and want to rip that curtain in half, I would have no choice but to start from the bottom. And if I could get a little bit of a tear there, I could then tear it from the bottom to the top. Tear that curtain in two. The scripture very clearly says that the moment Jesus released his spirit, you see, what did the curtain symbolize? The curtain signified that was in the old covenant, the Holy of Holies. One person could go into the presence of God once a year. But the moment that Jesus gave his life for us, the curtain, the Bible says, tore from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. What does that signify? It signifies God reaching down from heaven and rending that curtain in two and the Spirit all of a sudden being released on the earth. You see, now we live in this new covenant. We have access to the presence all the time. And when Jesus died upon the cross, the temple and the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. Jesus lived a life of miracles by the power of the Spirit, this Spirit. They called him Jesus Christ. Christ was not his surname. Christ was his title. His parents were not Mary Christ and Joseph Christ. Christ was his title. It meant the anointed one. What was his anointing? Who was he anointed by? Spirit of God. He lived a life that showed us the life we could live. You see, the Spirit gave the Word a body so that those with bodies might receive the Spirit. The Spirit gave the Word a body so that those with bodies might receive the Spirit. Jesus, in turn, at the cross, mediated the Spirit into the world. You see, think about this at the cross, right? If guilt was the only issue, the guilt of our sin before God, if guilt was the only issue, then Jesus dying on the cross would have been enough in itself. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that that was not enough in itself. Jesus dying was not enough for us. Jesus dying and resurrecting was enough for us. See, if guilt was our only problem, then Jesus dying would have been enough. But guilt was not our only issue. Otherwise, Jesus dying would have been enough. I hope you're flowing with me this morning. The issue was, the reason resurrection was what brought the victory is because guilt wasn't the only issue. Death was the problem. Without God, all there was death. See, Jesus said in John 10:10, he has come to bring life. Why would he need to bring life if there wasn't life already? That tells us that there was not life according to the true life that God has for us. What does that mean? It means that we were all living in death. The point I'm getting at is that if all we do is receive a forgiveness for our sins, but we just keep living our life, is that really life at all? But really, when we receive the true victory of Christ, which is forgiveness for our sins, absolutely, but resurrection over death, that means we give him our death and we take his life, which means we live the life he's called us to live. Let me paint that in black and white for us. It means when we walk out of that door, he's there. It means when you go to work in the morning, he wants to go with you. It means when you're sitting in a meeting, he wants to be in that meeting with you. It means when you're in the classroom, he wants to study alongside you. It means when you're raising your kids, there he is raising them with you. It means when you're having a marriage, it means there he is in the midst of that marriage. It means when you're in the middle of your life, in the middle of your life, there he is. There he is in the middle. There he is bringing life. There he is bringing you his life. And receiving the life he has for us from that position is where we work from. You see, there is so much to accomplish. I mean, even in this room, just look at all the chairs. It's not like it's an empty room, but there are empty chairs in here. That's something to be possessed. That's a life to be reached. There's communities to touch. There's cities to reach. There's a planet to shake. There's so much work to be done. But we don't sit here going, oh God, fill us so we can go and work for you. No, we sit here going, God, thank you that we get to work from you. We don't work for our sonship, we work from it. And so going back to the Israelites in the middle of the river, there they were, barely into the promised land. And they began to praise God. They began to pray. They had so much to praise God for. He'd brought them so far. He'd brought them out of captivity. He'd brought them through the wilderness. He was bringing them into the promised land. And they weren't where they wanted to be, but they were with him. And that was exactly where they needed to be. They hadn't seen everything they wanted to see, but they were with him. So they didn't yet have everything, but they had him. So they did have everything. And they stopped in the middle of that moment and they said, God, this is as good a moment as any to give you a praise. And they didn't give God praise as a strategy to step into the promised land. See, praise isn't a strategy to possess the land. Praise is a way that we can possess his presence. Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. I don't know about you, but it's very difficult. I don't think I've probably lived an entire day completely sitting in chair number one, sitting in the sonship of God in every thought, every action, every word, every deed. You know, it's a life of bounce between one and two, of getting the world out and the promises of God in, of getting the thoughts of the world out and getting the presence of God in. He will never leave me or forsake me. Oh, I got to work for it, work for it. No, 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 he will never leave me or forsake me. But I made a mistake. No, 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 he will never. Praise helps bring me from there to here. Praise brings his presence in, because I don't want to possess a promise if it means I miss out on the presence. I don't want to possess a land if it means he doesn't come with me, because I could have all of that, but if I don't have him, I have nothing. So it was his presence that was with them. They just had to stop a moment and give him praise. They were praising him because he was that good. They were praising him because they saw how far he'd brought them. They were praising because they saw how far he was taking them. They were praising because he is faithful. They were praising that they get to be a part of it, not that they have to be a part of it. They were praising from their position, not for their position. And Planet Shakers, today, we got so much to be thankful for. He's brought us so far, and we haven't seen everything we want to see, but we're here now, and today is as good a day as any to give him a praise. Today is as good a moment as any to give him a praise. I'm not praising because I've seen it all, but I've seen a lot, and if that was all he's done, that's enough to praise him. But I know he's got so much more, and so I'm praising him for that. But most of all, I'm praising him for him. He is the greatest. He's the only one that redeems me. He's the only one that saves me. He's the only one that heals me. He's the only one that breaks through for me. He's the only one. I'm praising him for him. Woo!
Thanks for joining us today. I pray that the message has spoken to your heart. We would love to stay connected with you as well. You can check out our website, www.planetshakers.com, or come and join us on social media @PlanetShakers. Let us know what God has been doing in your heart. We'll see you soon.